Do you truly worship the Lord? Do you truly worship in the right way that God that is with us? Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2 this morning. This is a familiar passage. Everyone that's been in church any length of time or it's been saved for years, you've read Matthew chapter 2. But I want to look at this through that lens of, do I truly worship the Lord? In order to answer that question, number one, it's a question that only you can answer. Number two, we got to answer, what is true worship? We need to understand what worshiping the Lord is. And what we're going to see is an example given by the wise men on what true worship is. This morning, I want to ask you to do something. I'm asking each person to allow God to work in your heart. If there's an area in your heart through this, in this passage on what true worship is, and am I truly worshiping the Lord? If you're not worshiping God as a result of God's working in your heart, even in this message, in this passage, that you would say, Lord, will you forgive me so that I can truly worship you? You know, one of the hard things that we do as a Christian, especially if we've been saved for some years and we've gone to church and we're doing the things that Christians are supposed to do, one of the hard things that for each of us is to admit when we're doing something wrong. Wouldn't you agree? It's hard to admit when you do something wrong. So this morning I'm asking each of us to have a heart of humility in God's leading. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Now, let me stop right there for just a moment. It's interesting. The Jewish people were looking for the Messiah, a king to come. They weren't necessarily looking for him to come in the form of an infant. They were looking for royalty. They were looking for majesty, for a king. So if you notice, whenever the news came about that Jesus has been born, notice who came. It wasn't the Jewish nation. It wasn't a whole throng of people. Notice, it was just a few wise men that came, that was guided by Jesus, guided by God, excuse me, by a star. Let's read verse 3. The ending of verse 2. For we have seen his star in the east and are come to notice what they did. What they were coming to do. They were coming to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Do you truly worship the Lord? Let's pray this morning. Lord, I ask you to help me as I preach your word to answer an important question for myself and myself only. Do I truly worship you? Lord, I pray that you would help me to, again, as I've prepared for this message and studied this passage, Lord, as you have worked in my heart, Lord, again, allow me to be sensitive to your leading, to be humble, to be willing to follow your leading in my heart so that I can truly worship you. And Lord, may that be the same for all of us here this morning. Lord, again, please forgive me for my sin and help me as I preach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Israel was called to worship God by giving back to Him. They were to take the things that He had given them, their land, their crops, the blessings that the Lord had given to them, and they were to give them back to the Lord for the purpose of worshiping Him. Obviously, this is a familiar passage, and what these wise men did in this season, in this moment in history, in this time, what they did is something that you and I can do and should do almost daily in our life. So what I want to look at this morning, we're going to look at a definition of what worship is. How did they worship Jesus? And then that's going to be the bulk of the introduction, and then we're going to have the message that's very applicable. Let me ask you a question. As you see in the yards today, as you go home, or tonight it'll be a little more noticeable, you see the old 1960 blow molds that are lit up in yards. Were the wise men there when Jesus was in the manger? Yes or no? No, they were not. They came later, after Jesus had been born, He'd been alive, and so this is sometime later when actually it says in the passage, a young child, and there in verse 8. But I want us to look at what their worship looked like, and this is going to be the convicting part. The first thing that we see here in the lives of the wise men is their worship was intentional. Their worship was intentional. Look at verse 2. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. Their worship was intentional. It was on purpose. These men came to Jerusalem for the sole purpose of worshiping God. Worship is why they left their homeland. It's why they traveled. It's why they brought their treasure. It's why they journeyed from so far. It was the why. It was at the heart of why they did what they did. It was the reason for coming to see Jesus. It was to worship Him. Our worship should be intentional. It's not something that just happens. Worship is not something that it's dependent upon what song is played at the church. You see, the world today has all kind of different definitions of what worship is. If you go to different churches, they might have what you call a worship time, or they have a worship band, or they have a worship service. That word worship is used interchangeably. So what is worship? Well, I can tell you this. One of the things worship is, it's intentional. I can tell you something else, and it's not really part of what I'm going to kind of bring out, but it's also personal, or excuse me, it's individual. Worship is on purpose. It's a focus on who God is and what God has done, and I'm giving my worship to Him and Him alone. Worship is never to be about anything other than God. It's not supposed to be about myself or how it makes me feel, or it's dependent upon what the message is. Worship is something that we do, should do each day, and it should be intentional for each of us. Not only was their worship intentional, but we also see that it was, this is a big word, but it rhymes. It's volitional. It rhymes on the back end of the words. Everyone understand that? Okay. All right. Not only is worship intentional, it's volitional. What does that mean? It was of their own will. They determined in their heart that they were going to worship Him. No one forced them to leave their homeland. No one forced them to do that journey. Yes, the king was going, found out about it. The king said in verse 3, when the king heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Well, why do you think the king was troubled? Because he was afraid he was going to lose power. Is there another king coming? That was a self-worry, self-reason to worry. But this worship of the wise men was volitional. It was of their own will and their own choosing. It was something that they wanted to do. How many of you here today wants to worship God? Yeah, it's Sunday. I got to get up and go worship the Lord today. No, that's not what true worship is. Worship is on purpose. Worship is something that only you can do. Pastor, what are you saying at this point so far in the message? I'm asking you, so far, are you truly worshiping the Lord? Worship is not done just on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night either, by the way. Worship is something that you can do every morning when you wake up. That you, on purpose, open God's Word and spend time with Him. Why? Because of who He is and what He has done. Yet so many of us will not open the Bible until we bring it to church. And sometimes we don't even do that. There are some Christians that are living every day as if they're the ones in control of their own life. I'm talking Christians. These wise men, some people won't get in a car that all they have to do is buckle in their seatbelt, twist a key, put in drive, and use the right pedal and push that pedal fast enough to drive you to church. Yet they felt it worship strong enough to walk for miles and miles and miles to worship God. If you've been on a mission trip somewhere, you've been out of the country, you've heard stories or you've seen even with your own eyes, Christians that live in other parts of the world, that they'll take public transportation to go to church for hours at a time. I'll never forget whenever we went to go see Raymond and Anita Bradley, the deaf ministry there. Parents would put their deaf children on a public transportation for an hour to send them to a Christian school or to send them to a church service by themselves in one of those places that I was scared to walk across the street at. Going to Africa, hearing Brother Bill and Miss Tammy whenever they were over there back when we were a teenager and would go visit the Browers, and how many hours sometimes that they would travel. Folks, we can't do something as simple as worshiping God each day. Yet what we see is wise men that said, I'm worshiping who God is. I want to go to where He is. It's on purpose and no one's making me do it. Teenagers, young people, at some point in your life, you're not going to have mom and dad that says, hey, it's time for you to get up and go to church. Hey, it's Wednesday night. Are you going to church? Hey, have you read your Bible today? No, you're going to need to want it. Do you truly worship the Lord? It was intentional. It was volitional. John 4, verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It was intentional. Their worship was volitional. Their worship was personal. I alluded to that a moment ago. For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him. Look at verse 9. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw that the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. Do you notice the, the pronouns when you use the words they departed, when they heard the king? They saw the young child. They saw the star. Notice it was personal. At any time, any one of those men could have said, I'm going back. I'm not going to go this time. Hey, let me know how it was. I can worship Him from a distance. They thought it important enough to come. They thought it important enough to come from a great distance. They came by faith. They rejoiced whenever they saw Jesus. They humbled themselves before Him. They gave Him gifts. Their worship involved self, because that's what motivated them to see Him, was their desire to worship Him. It was personal. I'm going to tell you something. There is no substitute for the local church. There's no substitute for being in a local church. There's no substitute for being a part of a local church. You probably did as well. I heard this many times during the COVID time frame. I can serve the Lord and I can worship Him at home in my pajamas just as easy as I can at church. It's just a lot easier for me. I'm going to tell you something. God created the local church and it's important to Him, and there's no substitute for Him. So even when you come to church, do you truly worship Him? What's the reason that you're here today? Why did you come? Maybe you come because this is your home church. I'm thankful for that. Maybe you came because someone invited you to come, or maybe you're visiting. You saw the church information online or something like that. Whatever the reason, did you come this morning to worship God? If we can't worship the Lord in church, then where else could we worship Him? My desire is for this church to be a place that's all about God. And it's a personal drive that I want to be a part of the things of the Lord. I want to be a part of this local church. These wise men, I want to go see Him. We're following the star and I want to see Jesus. It was personal. Worship is to be personal. Hebrews 13:15, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. There's a great word there, continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. That's not just at Thanksgiving or on our midweek service. We have our testimony time of thanks. You know, we can thank the Lord anytime we want to. Have you thanked the Lord this week? I hope you have. I hope there's been things that you've had in your life that you've been thankful for. I hope you have a heart of thankfulness, a heart of gratitude. Psalm 135, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord. For the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself, and Israel for His peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth and the seas and all the deep places. praise the Lord. Do you praise God? Do you have a heart of gratitude? Did you notice that in the words of the wise men? They were praising Him for who He does. I love it. We'll get into it here in just a minute. Verse 11, when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped Him. Notice why they did. Why else would a man, especially in that season of time, in that time frame, in that culture, why else would a grown man bow to a child? In that culture, it was children were the least, and then women were the least, and then the men had the priority. And even whenever we went some years ago to Africa, spent time with the Browers, whenever we would go to the church and we'd have a meal, the men and the women ate, and they said the kids would eat whatever's left. What do we do here in America? We would say, that's horrible. The kids need to go right up here in front. Notice they realized who they were praising God for. They were praising God for who Jesus was. Let me ask it to you this way. Are you living your life in obedience to Christ simply because of who He is? What has God done in my life that warrants me to live a life of praise and worship because simply for who He is? He is the Creator God that created me. He's the Creator God that loves me, and He loved me so much that He sent Jesus Christ to this earth to die on a cross, to shed His blood for me. So because of that, what am I doing to live for Him? If He died for me, shouldn't I then live for Him? True worship is giving of self. It's emphasizing and magnifying God and who He is. Their worship was intentional. It was volitional. It was personal. Their worship was confrontational. What? Well, notice what it says. Look at verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod thought that since he was king, he should be worshipped. These men didn't bow down to Herod. They didn't come to see Herod. He was troubled that the wise men were going to go worship another king. They came for one purpose, to bow at the feet of a baby. No ordinary child. This baby was in the eternal God in flesh. Let me ask it to you this way. Anytime we worship God, we're emphatically saying that every religion or every false doctrine, every false statement, every religion that is popular in the world today, we're saying they are wrong and God is right. It's confrontational. Not as though I'm ready to fight, not as though I'm ready to hurt someone confrontational, but we're saying is God is a jealous God, and not in the jealousy that you and I are familiar with on this earth today, but God is a God that is the Creator God. He's the God that created man. He's the God that loves man, and that's confrontational to all world beliefs. In Sunday school, in our young adult class, we're looking at the worldview, the world's model, the world's ways through biblical eyes. That's the goal. We want to see the world through the eyes of the Bible. What does God say about this? And we're looking at several things. And that's what I desire of each of us to do and live by, is living in worshiping and understanding what the world says versus what the Bible says. What does God say? What God says, this book is confrontational. It confronted me of my sin and my need of a Savior. I hope he did that to you as well. I hope that you saw the truth of who you are and what God has done, and you don't have to go to hell, and I didn't have to go to hell. The book is confrontational. Why? Because it tells us the truth. The Bible tells us the truth of everything. I said it this morning, so if you heard it in class again, young adults, forgive me. This Bible is truth no matter what. If it wasn't the truth, then I would be up here with the best of my ability with words to impart unto you reasons that you should live better. But I don't want you to hear anything of me because I want you to hear what the truth is. By default, the Bible is confrontational. It confronts us of where we need to hear it. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Not only that, their worship was emotional. Look at verse 10 and 11. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary's mother and fell down and worshipped him. When they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gold and frankincense and myrrh. Their worship was emotional. They rejoiced with exceeding joy. They had an enormous amount of excitement. Now, I don't know how it all played out. I don't know if they were in tears. I don't know if they were running around. They couldn't believe their eyes. They were just taken back. I don't know how it looked, but I do know this. God told us that they rejoiced with exceeding joy. Exceeding great joy. Worship is emotional. Worship is something that appeals to our emotions. I've said it before. Emotions are great servants, but they're horrible masters. We don't live our life emotionally. In other words, we aren't to live our life based upon our emotions. We don't let our emotions drive our decision making. We don't let our emotions drive our life. We are to harness that, but worship appeals to our emotion. Throughout Scripture, there's different examples of raising of hands or people, whenever they saw Christ, they cried. Emotions played a role. Let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with worshiping God and getting a little emotional. I'm not saying we run around. Here's the difference. True worship and the emotion that it brings is not to point attention to ourselves. It's to point it back to Him. But I'm going to tell you something. There's times in my life where I could not stop a tear from falling. There's times in my life I just was so excited about God working in my heart or God answering this prayer or God has answered a prayer based on someone else. And by the way, I hope you get excited whenever God blesses someone else and helps someone else. I hope you're just not sad all the time. Well, He's not done it to me. I didn't get what I wanted. Worship brings out the emotion, and that's okay when it's pointing it back to Him. I'm going to tell you, I've seen places, I've heard places, I've heard of stories. I have personally seen men get up and run around the aisles during a message shouting and yelling. I heard a man during a message that was a yell fest of men yelling and screaming, and a man had nothing else to say, so he stood up in the pew that he was standing in and he said, "Hot dog!" I have counted over 120 times in a 35-minute message where someone has said something after the pastor makes a statement. Amen. That's right, brother. Yeah, 120 times in 35 minutes. Our emotion is not to point attention to self. Our emotion is to say, "Lord, thank you for who you are and what you've done." Let me tell you something. If you can't give a testimony of what God is doing or has done in your life around Christians that you love and that you know at your local church, then where else are you going to show others or tell others of what God has done for you? It's one of the reasons why I love our testimony service at Thanksgiving that we just had. You know why? Because I get to hear from you what God is doing in your life, what God has done in your heart or in your family, or what you're blessed with or what you've been praying for. Rejoice with exceeding great joy. Their worship was effectual. It had an effect on Herod, on the scribes. It caused them to think about what the true purpose was of Jesus. It affects others. When we worship God, it affects those that know us. It affects those around us. Whenever I allow God to work in my heart and He does something and I come to the front and I pray, or I get it right at home or in my chair, and it affects those around me. When I hear of someone that is done right by God, then I say, you know what, if he or she can, so can I. Worship, true worship, is effectual. It affects us. And then lastly, it's not the end of the message because that's only the introduction. Their worship was sacrificial. Their worship was sacrificial. This is the message of this morning. Why was their worship sacrificial? Why is living for God today sacrificial? Why is serving God today sacrificial? What did they sacrifice? Well, I want us to understand something. When I say their worship was sacrificial, I'm looking at that through the eyes of human beings. It's only sacrificial to us. It is expected in the eyes of our Heavenly Father. How was it sacrificial? It cost them their time. True worship cost the wise men their time. It says that they came from the east. Not exactly sure where their exact location was. Many Bible scholars think that they came from the area of Mesopotamia. And if that's true, that was several hundred mile journey to get to worship, to get from where they were to worshiping Jesus. That's just man's opinion. That's just what some Bible scholars would say. It gives us an idea. That being the case, that would have taken some time, would it not? At any moment, they could have said, it's too much, I'm done. At any moment, they could have said, I'm too tired, I can't do that anymore. At any moment, they could have said, well, I've come this far, the Lord understands my heart, He'll understand if I have to go back home. They could have said, well, I can't do that, I can't leave whatever else I'm doing, I can't leave my obligations, I can't leave a family, I can't leave whatever the case may be. It was sacrificial. Worshiping God is sacrificial to us. It costs us time. Well, Pastor, what do you mean time? How many of you right now could be at home? How many of you that serve in any capacity that requires preparation at this local church, or maybe at your local church if you're visiting from somewhere else? And it costs time, it takes time to prepare. That's sacrificing of time. How about the time it takes to come early to church because the kids have got to practice? Well, I don't have time. Well, I would like to serve in that capacity, but I don't have time for that. I sure wished I did, Pastor. True worship sacrifices our time. But can I tell you, there's no time better spent than time worshiping God. We can worship Him by seeking Him. It takes time set aside every day for you to grab your Bible and to open it up and to go to a passage and to say, God, will you speak to my heart? Or open your Bible because you're going through a circumstance. Lord, I don't know exactly what I need to do in this situation, or I don't know what decision to make. Will you guide me? Will you help me? Lord, I need help in my marriage. Will you show me what I need to do and pray for my spouse for what they need to do? Maybe you need help with your children. I don't know, but it's a sacrifice of time whenever we worship Him. You see, we want to bring Him along. And that's a fear I have of today. There has been a resurgence in Bible sales, a resurgence in people coming to church, a resurgence in the younger people since the death of Charlie Kirk. There's been a resurgence on talking about the things of God. But are they wanting to make Him first place or bring Him along in their life? It's no different for us today. It was sacrificial. Their worship was sacrificial because it cost them their time. It takes time to check on someone. You hadn't seen them at church in a while. It takes time to pray for someone. It takes time. Listen, what do they say? Time's the one thing we all have the same amount of in a day. It not only cost them their time, but it cost them their treasure. These men came and gave gifts to Jesus. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All three were costly. They were not cheap, yet they gave them to Jesus. There's no strings attached. They walked in that house. They saw who He was. They bowed to the ground to the King of kings in flesh. And they immediately thought to do something. I need to give back. I need to give of what I have been given to Him. It cost them their treasure. True worship gives. It doesn't take. True worship says, God, what have You given to me that I can give back to You? You've given me the ability to stand at the door like Mr. Harrison is right back there, stand at the door and to be a security. Lord, have You given me the ability to maybe spend some time with kids and teach them some Bible stories and Bible songs, just like that's happening at our children's church and on Wednesday nights? Do you say, Lord, what can I do? What can I give back to You? Not just inside this church ministry, but I'm saying, what are you giving back to God? Let me ask it to you this way. One of the most basic, simplistic things of obedience in our walk with the Lord is giving of our treasure. He tells us that we are to give financially. Why? I don't know. That was His plan. We're just to obey it. He already owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't need us. We need Him, and we need to be obedient to Him. True worship gives. It cost them their treasure. And then lastly, it cost them their testimony. It cost them their testimony. Their testimony, who they were, in other words, was seen by all. The greatest treasure that they gave to Jesus Christ was not the gifts, it was themselves. It cost them what they thought their future was. It cost them what their plans for the future was. True worship gives of self. And there's no greater place to be than serving God with your life. This morning, I want to ask you, are you truly worshiping the Lord? I'm not going to go over all of them that I've already went through. But we see what the wise men's worship entailed. We see what it cost them. We see the sacrifice of true worship. And here's the message of the day. I'm speaking to two groups of people this morning. Those that have trusted Christ as their Savior and those that have not. If you're here this morning and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, know this. Jesus that we're reading about that was born, He was born on this earth. That's God in flesh was born for the sole purpose of dying because of His love for you. He loved you so much that He died for you. But He didn't just die. He conquered death. He rose from the grave and He lives again today. Isn't that fantastic? That's why we get to have the Lord with us all the time, every time, anytime. The second group of people is those of us that have put our faith and trust in Christ. And to that group, I'm breaking it down into two other categories. I'm talking to those that will say, Pastor, I'm not truly worshiping God. I'm not giving of myself. I know it costs something. I know it costs my time and my treasure and my testimony, my what I want. I know that, and I've not done that, and I want to start today. And then I'm talking to the other group inside that Christian category is those that will say, it's all right. Everything's fine. I don't have to change anything. Everything's fine. Do you truly worship God? This morning, I'm asking you, if God has pricked your heart, pricked your mind, will you follow His burden, His conviction, whatever He has placed in your mind, will you follow Him in His leading to make it right? Lord, I ask You to help us this morning to truly worship You. Lord, You know our hearts. You know our areas of weakness. And Lord, You know mine. And Lord, so many times I want it to be comfortable. I want it to be on my terms. I want it to be on my timeline. But Lord, from what we see from the wise men is they simply followed Your leading of that star to see Jesus, and we see what their worship was. It was personal. It was sacrificial. So Lord, help us to truly worship You. In Jesus' name, amen.